Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Great Crash 1929 by John Kenneth Galbraith is a classic economic narrative that explains how the roaring optimism of the late 1920s culminated in a stock market collapse that reshaped modern finance. Written with clarity and a sharp eye for human behavior, the book traces the rise of speculative fever, the fragile mechanics of credit, and the institutional weaknesses that allowed risk to multiply unseen. Galbraith presents the crash not as a random accident, but as the predictable outcome of collective enthusiasm, social contagion, and structural incentives that rewarded short-term gains over long-term stability. Although it focuses on a single historic episode, the book has remained relevant because it highlights repeating patterns that appear whenever markets boom and leverage expands. Readers come away with a grounded sense of how narratives, money flows, and policy responses interact, and why financial systems can look strongest just before they become most vulnerable. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the boom psychology that turned optimism into mania. A central theme is that the late 1920s were powered as much by belief as by fundamentals. Galbraith shows how a broad cultural confidence in progress, technology, and American prosperity made rising stock prices feel natural and deserved. This confidence spread beyond professional financiers to ordinary households, creating a social environment where participation in the market became a marker of modernity and intelligence. As more people bought, the gains appeared to confirm the story that prices could only go higher, which intensified the herd behavior. The book emphasizes how easy explanations and reassuring commentary helped suppress doubt, while success stories amplified fear of missing out. In this atmosphere, skepticism was treated like ignorance, and warnings were dismissed as old-fashioned caution. Galbraith also highlights how market euphoria often coexists with selective blindness. Participants notice confirming signals and ignore balance sheet fragility. The result is a feedback loop where psychology drives prices and prices reinforce psychology. By examining this mood in detail, the book helps readers understand why bubbles are not purely mathematical events. They are social movements built on narrative, status, and emotional reward. Secondly, leverage, margin buying, and the hidden engine of vulnerability. Galbraith explains that the boom was intensified by the widespread use of borrowed money to buy stocks, commonly through margin. This mechanism allowed investors to control large positions with a relatively small amount of their own capital, magnifying gains during the ascent. The same leverage, however, created an unstable structure. When prices fell, lenders demanded additional collateral, forcing investors to sell into a declining market. The book clarifies how this process can turn an ordinary downturn into a cascading collapse. It also explores the ecosystem that grew around leverage, including brokers, lenders, and financial intermediaries who benefited from the volume of transactions and the appearance of ever-rising demand. Galbraith treats credit as both fuel and accelerant. It makes participation easy, and it makes exits chaotic. The core lesson is that risk is often disguised when borrowing is abundant, because rising prices mask the fragility of the underlying financing. By focusing on leverage rather than only on stock tickers, the book provides a framework for recognizing how credit conditions shape market outcomes and why debt-driven booms tend to end abruptly. Thirdly, institutions, experts, and the failure of public reassurance. Another important topic is the role of institutions and influential voices that help sustain confidence even as conditions deteriorated. Galbraith examines how public statements, market commentary, and the prestige of financial leaders can act as stabilizers in the short run, but become harmful when they substitute for honest assessment. Reassurance becomes a product, and the public often wants to buy it. The book discusses how experts can be trapped by their own incentives, admitting danger risks, reputational damage, while optimism aligns with business interests and popular sentiment. Galbraith also points to weaknesses in oversight and the limitations of contemporary understanding of systemic risk. When many actors rely on the same assumptions, institutional consensus becomes a form of vulnerability. The story highlights how information can be abundant yet unhelpful, because the crucial facts are either ignored, poorly interpreted, or drowned out by confident forecasts. This topic matters to modern readers because it explains why bubbles can persist in plain sight. The failure is rarely a lack of data. It is a failure of incentives, independence, and the willingness to challenge comforting narratives. Fourthly, from break to panic, how selling pressure became a self-feeding spiral, Galbraith details the shift from a market that wobbles to a market that panics. He describes how early declines can be rationalized as temporary corrections, but once trust breaks, the same crowd that chased prices upward rushes to escape. Liquidity, which feels unlimited in good times, suddenly disappears as buyers step back and sellers compete for exits. The book underscores the mechanics of fear. Falling prices trigger margin calls. Margin calls trigger forced sales. Forced sales push prices lower, and the cycle repeats. Importantly, Galbraith presents the crash as a process rather than a single day. The drama is not only in headline moments, but in the cumulative erosion of confidence. He also explores how attempts to support the market can fail when they are perceived as symbolic rather than substantial. The lesson is that market stability depends on expectations about other people's behavior. When investors believe others will sell, selling becomes the only prudent action. By following the spiral closely, the book teaches readers to distinguish between ordinary volatility and structural fragility, and to see how interconnected financing turns fear into an accelerating chain reaction. Lastly, Aftermath and Enduring Lessons for Finance and Public Policy, the book closes with reflections on what the crash revealed about capitalism, regulation, and the recurring nature of speculative excess. Galbraith does not treat 1929 as an isolated anomaly. Instead, he portrays it as a recurring pattern. Innovation and growth invite optimism. Optimism invites speculation, speculation invites leverage, and leverage invites collapse. The aftermath highlights how damage spreads beyond investors to banks, businesses, and households, creating a broader economic contraction. Galbraith's treatment encourages readers to think about prevention in systemic terms, including transparency, prudent credit conditions, and skepticism toward claims that a new era has eliminated old risks. The policy implication is not that markets must be suppressed, but that they require guardrails that respond to human behavior, not idealized rationality. This topic also emphasizes humility. Forecasting is difficult, and the greatest danger often emerges when confidence is highest. For contemporary readers, the enduring value is the lens it provides for interpreting later bubbles and crises. The specific instruments may change, but the incentives, narratives, and credit dynamics remain remarkably similar, making the book a practical guide to recognizing financial fragility. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want to understand financial crises through a blend of economics, history, and human behavior. Investors, business students, policy-minded readers, and anyone curious about why crowds repeatedly make similar mistakes will find it especially useful. Galbraith helps readers build a mental model of bubbles that goes beyond charts and jargon. Optimism becomes a narrative, leverage turns that narrative into exposure, and institutional reassurance can prolong risk until a small shock triggers a chain reaction. That understanding can benefit a reader's life by improving judgment around debt, risk-taking, and the seductive certainty that accompanies rising markets. It can also sharpen critical thinking when evaluating expert claims during booms, when the cost of complacency is highest. Compared with many books on the Great Depression that focus primarily on macroeconomic suffering or policy debates, The Great Crash 1929 stands out for its tight focus on how the speculative machine worked and why it failed. Its lasting popularity comes from readability, memorable analysis, and the way it connects one historic crash to patterns that still repeat, making it worth buying as both history and warning. If you would like to support John Kenneth Galbraith, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.